Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon to each and everyone. We are so glad and thank and praise the Lord for this day. Today is Monday. Thank God for another day that He has allowed us to live, to be among the grave. We just thank and praise the Lord for each and everyone that continue our faithful and tuning in to the broadcast. I thank and praise the Lord for you, and I thank and praise the Lord for Apostle Armstrong, who is the founder and the host of this broadcast, and thank and praise the Lord for him, and the Lord allow us to play a part in it. I thank and praise the Lord for the word that the Lord has impressed on my heart today to share with you all. You know, right now, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm mad, to hear about the young man that went in and shot up and killed those people in that Family Dollar store. You know, I think it was Family Dollar, but, you know, I'm telling you, it's sad. Well, you know, we living in a fallen world, and this is something I don't think some people realize. This is a fallen world. This is not forever. This is not eternity. But when God sent Jesus back, when He sent Jesus the first time to restore everything that mankind lost through the disobedience to Adam and Eve, by their disobedience, they separated God and mankind. Jesus didn't come to restore a relationship. Jesus didn't come to restore religion, but He came to restore a relationship between God and humanity. And I'm telling you, it's something to think about, you know. But the Bible tells us, you that have listened at us or hear my message, you know, my leaders, my former leaders taught me about the kingdom. The late Ida B. Parker was one that, you know, her theme was Matthew 6:33. A lot of things I would about like the disciples, a lot of things that she used to share with us and was teaching us, some of it didn't really come alive to after she left here to be with the Lord. And, you know, and the more as I continue to walk with the Lord, my spiritual eyes is coming open to a lot of things she said, you know. And one of the things she used to talk about in 1 Peter, the Bible was telling us about, we need to be sober and vigilant because our adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. In St. John 10:10, it reads, "The thief come but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you would have life and have it more abundantly." And we're going to go on in prayer because I'm going to share with you. We talked about Thursday. We talked about we was having a dry spell, like I said, here and there. And we just begin to decree and ask for rain. Well, we've been getting a lot of it, you know, and I thank and praise the Lord for answering that prayer. It's nothing special about me, but what makes us special in the eyes of God, we are daughters. We are sons and daughters of God. And God have graced us as born-again believer with authority. You know, even though the Bible says Satan is the god of this world, but we can say like Jesus said in John the 18th chapter, Jesus, when he had to stand before Pilate the king, and the king was trying to act like he had, you know, had authority over Jesus, and Jesus said it couldn't be given to you unless it were from above. But Jesus made this bold statement. Jesus said, "If my kingdom was up here, I could call for help." I'm paraphrasing it for time's sake, you know. But Jesus understood, because when Peter tried to defend Jesus and cut the soldier ear off, Jesus placed it back on and healed the man, connected, you know, worked a miracle and had his ear to be replaced. But anyway, the point I want to make is, y'all, we're in a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's more than what you can see with your natural eyes. That's why Apostle Paul said in Ephesians, the first chapter, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to pray for the people's spiritual eyes to be open, that they would know what is the hope of God calling for their life. You know, a lot of times we can see very clear with our natural eyes, but a lot of people, when it comes down to the spiritual realm, they are blind. They are totally blind. They don't have no idea what's happening. You know, just because you've been saved for numbers of years, that don't mean that your spiritual eyes been open. I think I even shared the way I came through. I came through religion and tradition, and it's some things I still haven't arrived where I want to be with the Lord, but my spiritual eyes is open. I really can see better. I can see behind the scene that all of this evil that we see happening on this earth, we need to know we have an adversary. A lot of times people don't want you to talk about it because they say you're magnifying the devil. No, I'm not magnifying your enemy or our enemy, but I'm exposing him because you need to know that Satan is out to kill. The Bible said the thief come to steal, kill, and to destroy. He is out to steal from you. He out to try to destroy you, and he out to kill you. And we seeing it on this earth. He trying to start us a race war. He doing all of that. Satan is the root and the author of all of this hatred, this bitterness, all of this murdering, all of this stuff we seeing. He in some people's heart to cause people to do what they doing. He influencing people. Listen, we can be influenced, all of us. We can be influenced by the Spirit of God and the spirit of Satan. There too again, but as born again believer, as I say so many times, in Matthew 6:33, if we was to seek out the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we will find out. You have to pursue it. You have to explore it. You have to do some research and find out what it means. And I had to learn that, and I'm still learning. Please hear me. I haven't arrived yet, but I'm on my way. And the more my eyes come open to see what's behind all of this murder and all of this stuff that we see happening on this earth. But the thing about it, we can be like the children of Israel. We can be in Goshen. We are protected people. You know, but guess what? If you haven't sought out the scriptures of God and got in God's word to find out what God say about you, guess what? You are easy prey for the devil. Father, in the master's name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you for this day, because truly this is the day that you have made. And Lord, we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you now for those, the listeners. I thank you for bringing enlightenment and understanding. I thank you for the Holy Spirit is here with us. The Holy Spirit going to be revealing and causing us, the peoples over the airways, to cause them to hear. I plead the blood of Jesus over the listeners. I thank you that the enemy is bound. We forbid him to interfere in this broadcast. But Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit is the one that going to bring the enlightenment. He going to quicken us, that we going to be able to see. He going to bring encouragement and understanding to those that have tuned in. I thank you and I praise you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I lift up those in Marie today. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen them. Jesus and already took grief. So I come against overwhelming grief right now. Even those that lost their families in the shooting, and these shootings all over the earth, Father, over the world, I pray, Father, for comfort for them in the name of Jesus. I bind bitterness and hatred right now in the master's name of Jesus. I bind bitterness and hatred. And Father, I pray that you would touch their hearts in the mansion, not only comfort them from the grief, but comfort them and reveal, send people in their past to help them to see. And let the Holy Spirit bring conviction and let them see, this is not you, Father, but this is the enemy. But we have our part to play. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start with this scripture, and let's go to Deuteronomy. I think I want Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. I want us to go there. I want to show you something, because we going to have, the Bible said the violent, we have to take the kingdom of God by force. I found out, even though Jesus came, that we would have life and have it more abundantly, I found out that it wasn't going to just happen. Even though I'm a daughter in the kingdom of God, I found out, as I stated, that what my inheritance, what Jesus paid for me to have on this earth, I found out that it is not going to automatically happen. I want you to hear what I'm saying. You need to know, even though Jesus paid for it, but it is not going to automatically happen. You and I have our part to play. I want you to hear me. It's not going to automatically happen. A lot of people think, well, if he paid for it, I can just automatically. No, the devil is not going to let you and I just receive our inheritance. It's not just going to fall on us, you know. So you need to realize that. I'm looking at I'm in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. I want you to go there. I want you to see what he said. God is a good God. I want you to see. Hallelujah. I need to get my other Bible. You know, I be looking in different translations. And a lot of time before I come on, I have one thing in mind. But, you know, I thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows what people need more than Prophet Miller do, right? Would you not agree? The Holy Spirit know what we need. When you agree, yes, I pray you do, because he know. Hallelujah. I'm looking for a particular scripture. Father, I bless you. Okay, in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, and this something of scripture that God revealed to me over 47 years ago, not knowing that this would set the course in my life as well as my children's life, you know. And I said this so many times, the strongest thing about all of us is our will. God is not in the fan of making us do anything. God, that's not God. Our creator, who is God, and to some he's God, to some he's Father. But he is not going to make you and I do anything. But it's an act of our will. He let us choose whether we want to live for him or don't live. He don't make us do anything. That's not God. But in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, I'm reading from the King James Version. And in that 19th verse, he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Therefore, choose, that's an act of your will, life, that both thy and thy seed may live. I hope you see that, because a lot of times, as parents, and I'm a parent, I didn't know, I did not have no idea what this scripture really meant over 40 years ago when God brought it to my attention. It was right after I got saved. God brought this to me. I did not know by me choosing to serve the Lord, accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that my children would benefit from it. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Now I'm going somewhere with this. Don't if you tune me in, don't change the channel. Don't turn me off because I'm going somewhere with this. Okay, let's go to St. Luke, the 21st chapter, and that 34th verse. Here's so many things is happening on this earth right now. I really believe that we're living in the last of the last days. I really believe that. Now, I still believe St. John 16:33, it tell us that Jesus said in this world you're going to have trouble. Really, he said tribulation, but he talking about trouble. But he said, be of good cheer because I don't overcome the world. God always have made a way for our escape. Remember when he had Noah to build an ark? God, right there, God was making a way for the people to escape what were going the judgment that he was going to bring upon the earth at that time, because mankind had totally turned their heart away from God. And the whole time that Noah was preaching about what was going to happen, they didn't want to receive it. After they will, they choose to rebel again. Or better yet, they choose not to hear God. See, the Bible constantly talking about, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now, he talking about the Holy Spirit, and he talking about God is a spirit. Jesus said that he was a spirit, and we that worship God, we must worship him in spirit and truth. Well, we as a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. And God speaks to all of us. Whether if you're not in the sanctuary, better yet, the church, the building, God have always spoke to mankind some kind of way through somebody, through what we see, all of that. God is always speaking. But there, too, again, are we listening? And like I said, when I hear about shooting, when I hear about all of this killing, and when I hear about molestation and people confused, y'all, that is the work of the devil. That is not God. But you got to realize we in a fallen world. A lot of people, because they ignorant of what God's word say, as Hosea said, repair because of lack of knowledge. If you ignorant about what God say or who God is, you'll just get with the enemy. If you don't know what God say, you're going to fall for anything. A lot of people with murder and certain things happen today. Why God let this happen? Y'all, stop blaming God. You that's where you need some knowledge. But you ain't gonna get it if you won't get in the word. As I shared on Thursday, when the Lord got on me about, he said, y'all mommy complaining about the heat and how dry it is. He said, are you speaking? Are you calling for rain? And I said, that? He said, I told y'all to speak to the mountain. He told you that we can have what we say. He said, y'all as born-again believers need to exercise your authority. And I begin, and if you tune in on Thursday, we begin to pray for rain, that rain will come. And I said it's to give God the glory. Rain coming. And we've been having rain ever since. Now, I know they've been talking about a tropical storm and all of that, but listen, if you are born-again believer, exercise your authority. Cover your house with the blood of Jesus and come against destruction. Begin to bind it. See, that's what I'm really going to talk about today. It's time for the saints. Parents, if you're born again, you need to get violent and let the enemy know that he is not going to destroy your child. Now, remember we just read, he said, you choose life that you and your seed may live. That means that Jesus said, I came that you will have abundant life. But you got to know, as father and mother, listen, if you ain't saved, you ain't doing your house or your family just. It's not, if you not saved, but if you've been born again, as a born-again believer, you can intercept and overthrow what the enemy is trying to do to your household. Oh, yes, you can do that. I'm a witness of that. in Luke, the 21 chapter, and that 21 chapter, I want you to look at that 34th verse. Now, this verse is really talking about how people need to be alert because of the coming of Christ. But God began to show me also, he said, let people know. If so many things happen, a lot of people, they overwhelm. Come on, somebody. They is so overwhelmed with what's taking a place on the earth at this time. Come on, they overwhelm. People, some people, they living in fear. Come on, they living in fear. They living in fear about their relationship, about their children. And, you know, my daughter called me this morning. We was talking, and she was sharing with me one of my grandsons. He played football, and he been getting a lot of prophecies about his success in football. And my daughter was telling me, she was saying, Mama, ever since he got that prophecy, he had 2 asthma attacks. And my grandson don't have no asthma attack. And then he sprung his ankle. And then he'd been congested a lot. When she told me that, a whole lot of anger came upon me. And the Holy Spirit quickened to me. He said, you have to do warfare for prophecy. And that's the thing. See, if you ignorant of Satan's device, listen, you can't fight an enemy that you don't know. You can't fight him. And you know, like I said, I'm not here to magnify the devil, but I'm here to expose him and let you know, just like God let me know, as born-again believer, you have, John said, we have overcoming faith. What caused us to overcome what's happening in this world? It's our faith. Apostle Paul said at the last days on the, he said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Listen, you got to fight. And God gave us, we got the most powerful weapons on this earth to defeat the enemy. Now, I can hear somebody, well, so-and-so, I will believe in it, so-and-so and that. Listen, if they died in the Lord, guess what? You're going to see them again because they in heaven. The Bible said to be absent from the Lord is to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, you know. So there too again, as I stated, this is so important. I'm telling you, God don't want you to get so overwhelmed with what's happening on this earth that you lose faith and cast away your confidence in him, because it's happening. The Bible said, with many in the last days, the Bible tells us in the last days, many gonna depart from the faith. Let me read this scripture. Let me give you my, it's Luke 21 and 20, Luke 21 and 34. It's and take heed to yourself, lest at any time your heart be overcharged in drunkenness and chaos of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. Like I said, I'm using this scripture because, like I said, in the time we live in, there's a lot of things happening. And I'm finna read some notes. Want to say the major strategy he's using to cause Christians to fall into a spiritual sleep is to get them so involved with the cares of life that the word of God become in effect in their lives. And they lose sight of God's promises. He will cause our minds to be in constant state of turmoil, overwhelmed by the day-to-day problem and trials you face, so that your faith will be paralyzed. I don't know about you. I done experienced some things in my life that was so, it was so overwhelming to me that, I mean, I couldn't pray. And I mean, sometimes I've been so, I'm telling you, I don't know, these things have happened to me in the past. And I couldn't pray when I should have been praying. I was so overwhelmed with it. I was just shocked. I couldn't believe it was happening. Come on, somebody. Have you ever experienced some things in your life that we call breathtaking, overwhelming? You shocked about it. You devastated about it. You can't pray. You can't say nothing. But do you not know that's the time that you need to really grab hold of your emotions and say, wait a minute, I need to pray. I need to pray. I remember one time that my mother was sick. She's with the Lord now. My mother was sick. I won't forget that. I was overwhelmed. I was so shocked about she had a major stroke. And I couldn't pray. I mean, it was just like wasn't nothing coming out. But after that, the Lord began to show me. He said, Ann, at a time like this, when you see something like this taking place, you have to grab your, better yet, get control of your emotion. He said, that's the time you need to pray. That's the time you need to start using, taking your authority and coming against whatever the enemy is doing. Y'all listen, God is a good God. The enemy been trying to discredit God ever since the earth came, ever since the earth was formed. He been trying to do it because he wants to discredit God. Okay, I'm going to read that same verse. I just read it from the King James, and I'll read some of my notes. I'm going to read it out the Living Bible. Y'all know Prophet Miller like a Living Bible now. I'm going to read that 34 verse, and this is what it said. It said, Watch out, don't let me find you living in careless ease, in drunkenness, and filled with the worry of life. Don't let that day catch you unaware as a trap, for that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Now, like I said, there too, he's talking about that when Jesus come back, you know, we don't need to be so overwhelmed with the chaos of this world. Matthew, the 13th chapter, tell us how the sower planted the seed and how when after the word is sown, that the chaos of the world are come in. And like I said, right now, a lot of people is dealing with a lot of fear. They overwhelmed with what's happening on this earth. A lot of them, they confused. They don't know what to do. And some of them, they saying, God, why? God, why you allow this to happen? Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Lord, why? I used to say it too before I really got into God's word and started finding out, I had to learn that God was not doing this. You living in a fallen world, and a lot of it was because of the choices that we have made. I know people don't like for me to say that. Remember, we done ministered on this before, an act of your will. I just showed you in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. If you ain't been born again, according to Ephesians, the second chapter, Satan is your father. Jesus told him in John, he said, y'all would do what your father would do. He said, because if Abraham were y'all father, y'all would listen at me because he talked about me. Listen, you can't be neutral. You can't, some said, well, you know, I ain't saved, but then, you know, I ain't with you. Listen, if you ain't saved, your father is the devil. If you've been born again, if you saved, accept Jesus, your Lord and Savior, God is your father now. Or your father just happened to be God. It ain't no sin. You know, a lot of time the enemy will have us to fight over things that don't even mean nothing. You know, he got some people fighting about the color of their skin, fighting about money. Come on, somebody. All of this, but y'all, the root of it, the most needful thing. And that's what in Matthew, the 6th chapter, you started that 24th verse, I believe it. He started talking about taking no thought for your life. In other words, he would talk about the necessary things of life. It's more to life than what I eat, what I drink, and the clothes that I wear. It's more to life than that. And that's the most thing that we need to be seeking after. We need to find out what is my purpose. Why was I born? Yeah, thank God for mom and dad, a dad and mom. But why was I put on this earth? God had a purpose for us being here. And when I begin to seek out the kingdom, go through it, and as I continue, I'm finding out I have an assignment here, not just only as a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, even when I was a wife. It's more to me than that. It's more to you, my brother and my sister. It's more to you. But if you ain't got in the word and begin to seek out what is your purpose, what God had in his mind when he let Judy or John came on this earth, what he had in mind, what did God have in mind when your gender, when you a male or you a female, what did God have, what was the creator, what was in his mind? I think it's in Psalms 139. When you, God had a plan for all of us on this earth. But guess what? If you haven't sought out the will of God, if you ain't got in God's word, guess what? You pursuing and seeking things about life, about your life, that God that have never intended for you. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, when my spiritual eyes came open to about the kingdom, and I'm going back now, I'm going back and restudying about the kingdom of God, and I'm finding out how we supposed to exercise our authority on this earth. I'm finding out the laws and principles of the kingdom, how it works to be in the kingdom of God. You know, it's more to life than, you know, I have heard people say it, and I kind of for why I said it too. You know, I'd just be glad when Jesus, when I was experiencing a lot of drama in my life. Now, listen, I still experience trouble too. Nobody exempted. This is the thing. You know, people have me believing once you get saved, you ain't got to worry about this or they worry about this. Y'all, let me tell you something. Once I got saved, the bottom fell out. That's when the enemy put me on the hit list. And if you're a born-again believer, he don't put you on the hit list. But my point is this today. Don't allow yourself to get so overwhelmed about what's happening on this earth that the enemy will have you to catch away your confidence in God, have you blaming everything on God. Let me tell you something. It's the devil out there. He hates you. He hates me. And the way he get back at God is through us, because we creating his image and his likeness. The devil don't want you and me and nobody else to find out that he is the author of confusion. He's the author of all of this misunderstanding, this bitterness, this hatred. He, like I said, he's trying to start a race war. He's been trying to do it for the longest. He the one. All of this mess going on in the White House. Don't you know the root of it is the devil? And a lot of them, what they did, instead of them choosing God. And listen, once you choose God or receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior, listen, you got to get in God's word and find out, now that I'm born again, now that I'm saved, what's next? What God wants for me? Well, when you get in the word of God, you will find out what God requires from you. I want you to hear me. You will find out what he requires from you. And that's what I'm saying. A lot of people is overwhelmed. They're overtaken with what's happening. My next scripture, Matthew the 11th chapter, and we're going to begin to read it at that 11th verse, and I'm reading from the Living. He says, I assure you of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist, yet even the most insignificant person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the time John the Baptist began to preach and baptize unto now, the kingdom of heaven have been forcefully advancing, and violent people attacking it. Listen, the kingdom of God, Jesus restored the kingdom. Jesus restored man's relationship with God. But listen, the enemy been forcefully coming at us as saints. And he doing it, he come in ways, like I said, he want us to live in offenses, unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, resentment. Come on, somebody. That's how he come back at us. He forcibly fighting us. And even with this, when you read, if you started at that second verse, it was after John, when John had not went to prison, and John got blindsided while he was in prison. It began to set in things. He began to get overwhelmed with what was taking place. And John had really kind of forgot about, he was the one that God revealed to him when he saw Jesus coming towards him for him to baptize Jesus. It was revealed to John who Jesus was. But listen, with trouble and what's happening on this earth, you can get blindsided. I want you to hear me. You can lose focus on who God is. what Jesus came to do, what Jesus accomplished for you and I. You can get blindsided. It's a lot of things that can cause us to be blindsided. We can get overwhelmed with what's happening in our relationship, what's happening with your finances, whether you got a job or not. Maybe you was in a relationship. It didn't work. Maybe you got married. Your spouse left you. Or maybe you've been abusive. Maybe you were molested. See, all of these things the enemy used to try to blindside us and cause us to cast away our confidence, cause us, and even in Hebrews, the writer said, he was telling them, he said, don't cast away your confidence. They were going through so much of trials and tribulation. There was so much going on. And he would tell it, I don't want you to cast away your confidence in God. He was telling them not to be steadfast, not to be wavered. And I'm telling you, we're living in that time. We're living in that time, and this is what I want to encourage you. But as born-again believers, we're going to have to stand up and exercise our authority and let the devil know that he is a defeated foe. Let him know you don't boss me. Now, one of my grandsons used to say that all the time. You know, you and I have the authority. The Bible said we got faith as a grain of mustard seed. You can speak to the mountain. That word, that mountain is, we can speak to our circumstance. That's right. I remember I hear this minister, and the Lord gave him this revelation. He said, you can change your circumstances with your words. Do you not know the Bible said death and life is in the power of the tongue? Do you not know? If you are born again, believe in what you can do, Proverbs 11 and 21. It said that the wicked won't go unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. And when I got that about my grandson, I called him this morning, and I felt led, Lord, I said, I want to pray for you. And I began to let the devil know, I said, he the seed of the righteous. Now, I said, I know you is a destiny killer. You coming to intercept what God is doing for my grandson. I said, you brought on that asthma attack. He done had one for two times. You bring in all that congestion. You cause him to sprain his. I said, let me tell you, I bind you. I said, every demon that been assigned to my grandson, I bind you. Every demon that been assigned to his destiny, I cancel your assignment in the master's name of Jesus. He the seed of the righteous. I choose life that him, that my seed may live. And that's my seed. And I command you, Satan, by the authority in Jesus' name, to take your hands off of him. Well, listen, you as a born-again believer, if the devil is interfering in your marriage, if he interferes with your child, you have the authority. Oh, yes, you do. But if you so overwhelmed with this happening and you trying to figure out why this happening and why, listen, let me tell you something. You'll lose focus on who you are in Christ. You'll lose focus on that. Even the psalmist said, he said, I was overwhelmed in my spirit and I murmured and I complained. You know, when you allow yourself to get overwhelmed with things, even with your situation, you haven't had a bill due. And the more you sit there and you be trying to figure out, and you, if you allow yourself to get overwhelmed, the next thing you know, you speaking doubt and unbelief. You'll forget that, but my God shall supply all of my needs. You'll forget. I've been faithful with tithes and offerings. God said he'll rebuke the devourer. I have given, and it shall be given back to me, pressed down, shaking together, running over, till me and giving my bosom. You'll forget about it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. See, you'll forget about all of that. You'll forget about all of that when you allow yourself to get overwhelmed and you begin to take on the cares. Instead of Apostle Peter said, casting all your cares upon him, for he cared for you. Come on, somebody. I had to learn that. And I'm still learning as a born-again believer. I have a, when you think about the people in the, they know who they was. Reese and Monois. Overwhelmed by the day-to-day problem and trials you face. So that your faith will be paralyzed. Is your faith paralyzed today? Satan's strategy is to keep you so busy working that you don't even, you're too exhausted to pray or read God's word. He tried to keep your mind so filled with worry that the powerful word of God that have been sowed in your life become ineffective. You know any people, you know, some people go to church Sunday after Sunday, Bible study after Bible study, but then they allow themselves to get overwhelmed and get so busy with the chaos of this world. What I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what I'm going to do about this, what I'm going to do about that. And guess what? You'll forget all you done read. James said, don't be just a hearer, but be a doer of the word. If you are a hearer of the word of God, you go to church and you just listen, and then you come and you don't go and study more up on it and meditate on it and put it into it, you'll forget it. Some will come through and sidetrack you, get more of your attention than what you done read. Well, the Bible said in Mark 4, Matthew 13, the sower planted the seed and immediately come the wheat one. Well, when I got the news about what was happening with my grandson, and she told me the prophecy that was given to him by one of his former leaders, I know the Lord quit. I said, that's the enemy right there. The devil coming to steal from my grandson. He wanted to destroy him. He don't want him. He don't want him to walk in God's purpose for him. He don't want him to be successful in playing football. He don't want him to go to the NFL. He going. He going in Jesus' name because it's been prophesied. But guess what? My grandson, he is not, don't have the knowledge and the understanding and the revelation I have about the enemy's soul. So me, his parent, we have to come in agreement since we know it's the enemy. And I'm saying that to you. I love it when one of our kids, one of the principal guys, he said, we're in the two touching and agreeing. As a born-again believer, if the enemy attacking you anything or anywhere in your life, you need to get with somebody else that born again like you, but somebody know their rights as a believer, as a citizen in the kingdom of God. Matthew, tell us that. He said, we're in the two touching and agreeing. But now, in the beginning of that, he tell you that you ain't living in offenses. You walking in forgiveness, not unforgiveness. You see, that's why the enemy, he always gonna try to bring to us the things that will hinder our prayer from being effective. James the 5th chapter said, effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Remember we used that on Thursday when we were asking and calling for rain. How the Bible said Elijah was a man subject to passion we was. Now, he walked in the office of a prophet, but as his right stand, his relationship with God, he had the authority to pray for rain, and it rained, and he had the authority to stop it. Remember? First came the 17th chapter. My point is this. You're going to have to get violent. You're going to have to get violent with these opposition. The enemy is coming against you as a born-again believer. He using lack. Come on. He using offenses. Come on, somebody. He using bitterness, misunderstanding. Listen, you're going to have to get violent and let the enemy know you is a defeated foe. Let me tell you what you ain't going to do. Let me tell you what you can't do in Jesus' name because I got God's word on it. That's why Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. What do you think? If you go through the Bible and read about Apostle Paul, at first he was persecuting the saints, killing them till he had that encounter with God on the road to Damascus. He thought he was doing right. Before I got saved, a lot of things I did, I thought I was right. But I found out that I wasn't right. I was wrong. When my eyes came open, I begin to see that God loved me. I begin to see that according to Ephesians, the second chapter, I was on the side of the devil, and me and him were working good together. That's an act of my will because I didn't know any better. But listen, you ain't got to let the enemy keep doing what he's doing. I'm reading some notes, and God wants you to get this. It said, the devil tried to keep your mind so filled with word that the powerful word of God that have been sown in your life become ineffective, and you are filled with fear and unbelief. How many people is operate with fear and unbelief? They done cast away their confidence. They don't believe that God loves them anymore. They don't believe that God can. Now, you got some people, and they believe that God can, but they don't believe that God would do it for them. You see, here's the difference, and hear me good, it's the difference in believing that God can and God will. Now, some people believe that God can do anything, but they don't believe that he'll do it for them. Oh, I know God can do it if he wants to. Maybe he won't to. Matthew, the 9th chapter. When those blind men went to Jesus, they told Jesus, we know you can. He said, you believe I can do it? They said, yes. And guess what he did? He healed them of their blindness. Do you believe today that God is able to heal your Bible? You got to trust it. And don't listen. Don't let the enemy tell you, well, guess what? Your uncle, we prayed for your uncle, so-and-so, and you know they died. Listen. My faith and confidence is not what happened to them. Because I don't know what their faith was with God, and neither do you. See, that's the thing I had to learn. One of the things I had to learn, in order for my faith to be effective, my prayers to be effective, my faith to do what the word said, I had to make sure that my faith was based on somebody else's experience. Because when I read my Bible, the ones that God inspired to write the Bible, do you not know that they didn't have the opportunity? The Bible wasn't written so they can read it like you and I reading it. Matthew, what I read in Matthew 11, do you not know John the Baptist didn't have access to the Bible like we do, that he could read to see what was going on? They didn't have it. That's why I wanted it to tell us in Hebrew, we have a better covenant with better promise. We have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Joseph took a stand, and he wouldn't lay with Potiphar's wife. He had to take a stand. And listen, the Bible tells us in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to say, because we ain't wrestling with flesh and blood. These are spiritual beings that is causing all of this evil that we see on the earth. But guess what? God getting the blame for it. Why won't God do something? Well, why won't you do something? And guess what? You can't fight a spiritual things with natural weapons. You can't do it. Paul put it this way. The weapon of our warfare is not come, but it's mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. That's why I tell prayer, pray for your children. If you got children in school, you need to pray and cover them with the blood of Jesus. You ought to take time before you send them off to school to lay hands on. You ought to get up out of that bed and pray. Lay hands on them. Cover them with the blood of Jesus. Teach them. If you see anything going kind of strange in school, start binding. Yeah, you need to teach them that. See, Deuteronomy tell us, the 6th chapter, he said, when your children rise up, when they're going by, you need to teach them. And that's something I try to tell my grandchildren, the ones that in my presence. I said, listen, if you see something going awkward in school, I said, start binding. Start pleading the blood of Jesus again. Oh, yeah, but see, some people don't teach their children that. Well, guess what? You can't teach them what you don't know. But see, these are some of the things that we as born-again believers, it's time. It's been time. Some of you sitting on the side, oh, God, pull me. Ain't no, oh, God, pull you. Jesus done deliver you from all of that. Stop letting the enemy, some of them operate, like I said, dealing with fear and unbelief, unable to receive the sign of the time and unprepared for Christ coming. They want us to be so involved with our own personal need and problem that we would not even see or be concerned about with those around us who are lost and dying without God. You got a lot of believers now. They don't even pray for the lost no more. They ain't on fire. They don't want to witness. Listen, like I said, I don't want you to think Prophet Miller, she just picking at some. No, Prophet Miller ain't doing that to you. But I want you to know what's happening. And even in Matthew 11, the scripture that I read, some notes about it. To defeat Satan, we need offensive strategy. We need to realize we have to be aggressive. Apostle Paul was aggressive as Saul in killing this saint because he thought he was doing right. But don't you know when he got saved, he even was more aggressive in the things of God? Some people, some folk before you got saved, you was an aggressive person. You didn't have a problem in standing up for what's right. Now you done got saved, you're a coward. Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because you don't know your rights as being in the kingdom of God. But I'm telling you, parents, if you save, pray for that child every day. Get up with them and pray with them. Get in that word and read it to them. Prophet, I don't know what to read. Well, you can pray and say, Father, forgive me first for not making time for your word. But God revealed to me, help me. One way you can start reading the epistles. The epistles will tell you who you are in Christ Jesus. It'll tell you what you can do. I'm telling you, because y'all listen, everything you and I need to defeat the devil while we're on the earth, God, we have access to it. As I said in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, Paul said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord in the power which might. You ain't wrestling with flesh and blood. A lot of people, they've been blind. The enemy wants them to think that your enemy is another. No, no. Once I found out that we are spiritual beings, and I found out that God is a spirit and Satan is a spirit, and I found out I was a spirit. I had a soul and I live in a body. And I found out that I can be influenced by the spirit of God and the spirit of Satan. And then I had to learn how to be able to discern spirit is influencing me. And as a born-again believer, I could shut the door. That's what I found out, that I had to renew my mind so I don't be conformed to this world. You see, once you get saved, if you don't get a renewed mind, you'll still find yourself conformed and doing things the way you used to do it. You get mad. You'll tell somebody out. And tell some folks, it's sad, but they'll curse you out. Well, I'm going to do this here. See, when I was growing up, and I didn't know any better, I used to hear some people say if they were religious, they didn't know no better. And, you don't want to make me mad. I lay my religion down. You don't want me to lay my religion. You can't do that. it's just like in a marriage. You can't want to be married when you want to be married and don't want to be married. You can't do that on a job. You just can't say, now you can say, I ain't going to work, but you in danger of losing that job. Christianity is a life, like I said, first it's a relationship with you and God, but it's a lifetime. And it's a lifestyle you have to live. And see, that's what the enemy do. He don't want you to totally commit to the Lordship of the Trinity. He don't want you to be committed to what is written and do what is written. Because he know if you and I is committed and devoted to God and to God's word, we can ask what we will and it shall be. We can speak in the atmosphere. We can speak to our circumstances and have a change. And I had to learn, and please, a lot of times I be transparent. Don't let this, oh, she just being cocky. No, I'm confident in what God's word says. It's a difference. Because I know God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. I don't need God to resist me. I know it's in him that do the work. I give him the glory. But I had to learn. This morning I woke up, my elbow was hurting. But see, y'all didn't hear my testimony. One of the mothers in the church, the late Mother Curry, taught me that the enemy could put pain on my body. He can put sickness on me. I didn't know that. That's I don't believe that. Okay, don't believe it. And just keep the pain. That's you for it. But the moment, because I read Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, Matthew 8, 16, 18 verse, 1 Peter 2, 24, I found out that Jesus done already took the pain. He done took the discomfort. He done took the sickness. I don't have to carry it anymore. And I had to learn the moment I sense a pain, a discomfort in my body, I begin to rebuke it. I begin to speak to it. But you see, some wait to the pain. You ain't developed no faith. I thank God for Apostle Gwen that says, I go to healing school. And I learned about what God said about healing when it come down to divine help for me. But listen, I'm telling you, you need to get violent. I'm telling you, better get violent because the enemy ain't playing. Don't let the enemy destroy your marriage. Don't let the enemy destroy your family. Don't let the enemy destroy your finances. Please hear me. This is God speaking to you. You got to get back. And I'm going to take up here Thursday if the Lord let me. If the Lord allows. But I'm saying, you got to get. He said, Jesus put it clearly when he said that violence take the kingdom of heaven by force. Now, according to that definition, it means to seek, to take hold of forcefully. Tradition, we have been preoccupied with teaching people how to protect themselves against the enemy. This is necessary, but now it's the time for us not just to teach our people to protect themselves against Satan, but to raise up against Satan and fight him. That's what I'm saying. It's time to fight. It's time for you to get dominant. Like I got mad when I heard about what was going on with my grandson. I said, devil, no, you won't. I said, you won't in Jesus' name. I intercept what you're trying to do to my grandson. I know what you're trying to do, but I bind it. I cancel them demon assignments, and I loose my grandson. I said, I command his lungs to be clear. I command that congestion to get out of his head, to get out of his chest. Yes, I did. That's your right. And you having to tell, you can keep the devil out of your marriage. You can keep the devil out of your family. You can keep the devil, out of your children's life. That child walking in rebellion, disobedience, go in that room. It's a you foul spirit of disobedience, rebellion. I am not going to let you do this to my son. He is the seed of the righteous. I command you to get out. You experiencing pain in your body, you need to start speaking to it. I'm telling you, God done did everything he going to do. He said, these signs follow them that believe. Are you not a believer? Jesus told us to make disciples, not members. That's the problem. Members, a lot of members in church, they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. All they know, get on this committee right here. No, you is a disciple. In the kingdom of God, his disciples he made. We have to train and teach others so when we leave here, they'll know how to stand up in Jesus' name. They'll know how to come against the enemy, the wiles of the devil. They'll know the trickery. Come on, somebody. The thief come but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came you will have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, I got to stop. But I'm mad about what's happening, how the enemy is trying to overwhelm people and intimidate people and torment them and harass them. Y'all, that's not the will of God for none of us. Father, in the master's name of Jesus, I thank you for your word today. I give you praise. I pray, Father, even after we go off the air, that you will bring more enlightenment. You will bring more understanding about the message that was given. I pray, God, that you have put a fire, stir up the saints. Stir them up, God, and let them know it's time for them to get violent, to stop fighting one another and fight that spirit because you haven't given us authority over nobody, but we have authority over evil spirits, that they would take authority over that spirit, that influence in that husband, that wife, that family member, that child, whoever it may be, that the enemy using to bring strife and division in the home, discouragement. Now, Father, I thank you and I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostolic Prophet Willie Ann Miller. I trust that you will enjoy the rest of your day.